Whether we have faith in what God can do or not, Pastor Ray Bentley says God's will prevails.
Your unbelief will not stop the purposes of God. God's going to do what God is going to do. Your unbelief cannot hinder the plan of God. God's purpose will stand whether I believe it or not. God's going to do what He's going to do in our time, whether we are ready for it or not.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. God wants us to come to Him in faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. But God isn't holding back His plans and purposes until we decide to believe. Can you imagine how little God could do if He was always waiting for someone's faith to catch up? We'll discuss that today in our study of Luke.
Luke chapter 1. We're going to go through the first 25 verses or so. Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. Verse 5, it says, and there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the division of Abiah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. You remember Aaron in the Old Testament, the original priest, and her name was Elizabeth. So here you have this righteous Jewish couple, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. What that means, it doesn't mean that they were without sin. Everybody is a sinner. What it means is that they were genuine lovers of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were seeking to the best of their ability to follow God's commandments, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself. They were following the Sabbath. They were praying. And they were both from priestly families. And in fact, Zechariah himself was a priest. So they both had a close relationship with the Lord. But listen to this. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. Now, it's hard to describe in these days what it might have been like in those days and in that culture, the Jewish culture and the Hebrew culture. Not to have children was a tremendous grief. And there were even those who would look down on someone who did not have children as somehow they must have done something wrong in their lives, or God was angry with them, or, you know, somehow punishing them. It just was socially not acceptable. Because in the Jewish culture, the whole purpose was to have children and to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to pass on from one generation to the next your faith. What I want to do is make a little simple application from that story and go a little beyond whether you're married or maybe single tonight, fine, children, no children. But let's take this principle. There may be some of you, my brothers and sisters, who are saying, look, I love God. I am a Christian. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And yet, there is this hole in my heart. There is something missing in my life. There is something that I don't have that seems like everybody else has, but I don't have it. What's wrong with me? Did I do something wrong? Is God not pleased with me? And I want you to relate if you feel for any reason, and you could fill in the blank probably 100 different things of what that might be. But if you feel that way, you are sitting in the same seat as Zechariah on your right and Elizabeth on your left. And I want you to know this, as we will obviously know in this story, God always has a reason. God always has a purpose. Let me, for just a moment, I want to say something to you. I want to take this seed and plant it deep into your heart. There is nothing wrong with you. You have done nothing to deserve whatever there is that may be lacking or missing temporarily in your life. You do realize that we're on our way to heaven, right? Everything is going to be fulfilled. Everything is going to be perfect. In the in-between time, which is like just a little, you know, skosh of a dash, it's not that very long. How many of you realize the world is not perfect right now? Anybody notice that? So God has allowed, even though you have become a believer in Jesus Christ, imperfections, things that are not, you know, totally hunky-dory and everything's fine. And just because you do become a Christian, it doesn't mean that God immediately fills in all the blanks immediately of your life. But I want you to know this, there's nothing wrong with you. You're okay. God knows what you go through. And he knows maybe somehow what people look and think about you, and probably you're more concerned about it really than other people anyway. You're okay. God has a reason, God has a purpose, and God's gonna fulfill every dream and desire within your life. But we go back to the story. Here was this elderly couple, and they lived their whole lives, probably praying, dear God, please, could we have a baby? Please, could we have a baby? Please, just one little baby. And probably getting to the point where they gave up even praying. Have you ever, you know, come to the place where you say, I prayed for it, I believed in it, I trusted God for it, I had faith for it, and finally you just go, you know, I guess not, and you give up. If you've ever been in that place, you're with Zechariah and with Elizabeth, well advanced in years. I mean, they'd been faithful to the Lord for years. Now they're old. Verse 8, so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Whew, I like this. Zechariah is one of about, they say 8,000 priests. Now, every day they had certain duties in the temple that you would do. But with 8,000 priests, there was not enough things to do for 8,000. Let me try to put this into perspective. If you were a priest living in Zechariah's day, you might never get to actually go into the holy place. Now, only the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, but the priest could go into the holy place. You might never get in there, and those who were chosen to go in there, if you did get chosen, you were only going to get to do it one time in your life. Okay, so follow me. They had a way of casting lots, and so you're hoping to win, as it were, the Jewish lotto, which was to go into the temple of the Lord. And you get the right ticket. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, I didn't know that I would ever get to go into the temple. I got chosen. And now this is your one day, the one day in your entire life, and you're an old man, and you get to go in and see the cherubim embroidered into the curtain of the Holy of Holies. And you know on the other side is the Ark of the Covenant, the golden cherubim, the mercy seat. And you walk in and it's filled. Oh, the walls have gold upon them and there are angels that are carved into them. And it's just absolutely unbelievably beautiful. And you begin to swing the golden bowl and the smoke of the incense begins to arise and it fills the whole tiny little room, this holy place, on the other side of which is the Holy of Holies where the Shekinah glory of God dwells. And as he is there and he is swinging it and he's praying and he knows that he's representing the nation and the whole nation is praying, all of a sudden, on the one day, the once-in-a-lifetime day, an angel appears out of the golden walls of the holy place, a supernatural, overwhelming angel whose name is Gabriel. The last time Gabriel visited the planet Earth, he visited a guy 500 years earlier named Daniel the prophet in Babylon, and Gabriel gave a prophecy of when the Messiah would come to Daniel the prophet. Zechariah, I mean, he must have had a heart attack. He had a cardiac arrest. He is like, ah, you know, I mean, it's enough that you got to go into the temple. It's your once in a lifetime deal, and you're in there and the nation is praying, and he must have been every, you know, thing inside of him vibrating with excitement. And then to have an angel appear. The angel appears and comes to him. Now, look with me in verse 12. It says, when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Now, why would he be afraid? Because a lot of times angels showed up and said, okay, it's judgment time. And it was not always, you didn't know if it was good tidings or not. But, verse 13, the angel said to him, do not be afraid. Listen to this. Gabriel says, Zechariah, Gabriel, the angel of God, knowing your name, calling you by name. Zechariah, your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow. Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. You and Elizabeth are going to have a son. Now, in a few moments, we're going to see Zechariah's reaction. I don't think Zechariah had even been praying for many years about having a son. He'd given up. He's old. But listen to this. Even when you give up on your dreams and when you give up on your prayers, the fact that you at one time thought it, dreamed it, hoped for it, wanted it and wished for it, the Lord takes notes. This is better than Christmas and Santa Claus and all of the lists. He knows every dream of your heart, and everything you've ever dreamed and hoped for will be fulfilled at the appropriate time, because we serve a wonderful and amazing and a gracious God. Amen? He's so good. And he says, your prayers have been answered. You, old man, are going to have a son and your wife, and you're going to have joy and you're going to be excited, and he is going to be holy. I am Gabriel. And I am telling you that this boy, he will not have wine. Why? Because wine is something that in the Bible represents joy, but he says you won't need an earthly joy. He will be so filled with the Spirit of God that he won't need any earthly substitute. He will be set apart wholly for the Lord in a powerful way. And he talks about his character. There is none that will be like him. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And then his prophetic ministry comes right out of the verses of Malachi's prophecy, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Listen to this. Gabriel is saying that this boy, that you will have the fulfillment of your dreams and prayers, you and Elizabeth, next to Jesus the Messiah, John would grow and become a soul second only to the Messiah himself. There would be none greater. In fact, Jesus is the one who would later say concerning John, I tell you of all who have gone before him, there is none greater than John. Do you realize what that includes? Abraham, Joseph, Daniel, and yet Gabriel is saying, Zechariah, your boy will be greater than all who have gone before him. In fact, the only one greater will be the one he prepares the way for, the Messiah himself.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. At Maranatha Radio, we've received so many cards, emails, and social media messages expressing appreciation for Pastor Ray's teaching.
I never met Pastor Ray, but I always loved listening to his teachings on the radio. I always felt the love of God, even in his laughter. He was my pastor too. We miss my brother very much and know he is rejoicing in the presence of our God, and we will see him one day.
Messages like that continue to be such a great encouragement to all of us at Maranatha Radio. If you'd like to send a message, just send it to ray@raybentley.com. or post a comment online at raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So here's this old priest who gets the angel. I mean, he won not only the lotto, he won all the way into heaven. So now in verse 18, Zechariah, how is he going to respond, this faithful Jewish priest? Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." He goes, "Now how can I believe you that this is really going to happen? I'm old and Elizabeth's old too. I don't know if you know, Gabriel, but we're old. We can't have kids." He basically says, "I don't believe you," which to me is unbelievable. Aren't priests supposed to believe in God? And if angels show up, generally, don't they tell the truth? And hadn't he been praying for that very thing? Even if he had given up, that was the answer to his prayers. And then the angel gives him everything he wanted. And when he got everything he wanted, he goes, I don't think you can do this, basically. Isn't the whole purpose of being a priest to tell other people to have faith that God can do anything? And then when an angel from the throne of God shows up in Gabriel, in the holy place, says, "You're going to have a baby." No, I don't think that's possible. We're too old. Isn't he the one that taught in the synagogue about Abraham and Sarah having a son when they were old? Isn't that the whole story of the Jewish people's beginnings? And I love this. It is interesting that so often we put such great emphasis upon our faith, that you've got to believe in order for God to do some great thing, as if God were impotent if we don't have faith. Yes, God wants us to believe in him and trust in him, but know this: God can do anything he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, and he will accomplish his purposes whether you believe it or not. There is nothing that can hinder the purposes of God. There's nothing that can stop the plan of God. And when it's time, and by the way, it was time, John needed to come because Mary is going to get the next announcement from Gabriel about the Messiah. It's time. There's no more waiting around. It's time for answers to prayer. Your unbelief, listen, will not stop the purposes of God. God's going to do what God is going to do. Your unbelief cannot hinder the plan of God. God's purpose will stand whether I believe it or not. God's going to do what he's going to do in our time, whether we are ready for it or not, which I find very comforting. It's not dependent on me and, work up your faith. Yes, have faith, believe. But God is able to do what he wants to do. Remember the words of Mordecai to Esther when he told Esther, "Hey, this guy is coming after us and they're going to start killing all of the Jews throughout the entire province. You have to go talk to the king." And she goes, "I can't go talk to the king. You can't go unless you are asked. They'll kill you unless he puts his scepter forward and lets you, but rarely does he do that." And Mordecai basically answered and said this: "Do not think, Esther, that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this." In other words, Esther, no matter what you do, God's going to deliver and save his people. But he can, if you'll believe and trust in him, he could use you. God's going to accomplish what he wants to do, with or without us, with our faith, without our faith. And so Gabriel gives the promise. Zechariah doesn't believe it, but God gives it to him anyway. And I just love how gracious and tender that God is in light of that. And so in verse 19, we'll close with this, verses 19 through 25, it basically tells itself, but here kind of wraps up and finishes the story. Verse 19 says, "And the angel answered and said to him," here's what the angel said to Zechariah that said, "What? No, we're old, we can't do that." He goes, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. God told me to tell you, you're going to have a son. Abraham and Sarah had a son, you're going to have a son, and by the way, an even greater miracle, the Messiah is coming soon. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." God's going to accomplish his will in your life, whether you believe it, whether you don't believe it. So might as well believe and enjoy, right? And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. When he came out, by the way, the priest, after he did the incense swinging the golden bowl, he was supposed to go out, all the nation is there, and he, you know, kind of pronounces this blessing upon all the Jewish people. Well, the priest took extra long, and they go, what's going on? He finally comes out, and they're waiting for him to bless them, and he's making gestures, he can't talk. He lingered so long. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. You know, whatever he was doing. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. So several days later, now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And here's what happened. She conceives, and she goes, honey, I'm pregnant. And he goes, but nothing came out. He's excited, but he can't speak. Thus, the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. And then the day came when the child is born, and then they're saying, well, what are they going to name him? And they say, oh, they'll probably name him after his father. And then the father says, no, his name will be John. He can speak. Because finally, you know, God didn't punish him. He just disciplined him a little bit. Hey, believe me next time, Zechariah. And he let him speak. His name will be John, which means you have found favor. His whole life had been one of prayer, trusting that God listens and is compassionate and loving and likes to answer his children's prayers. And then when God delivered the answer, he says, nah, that, God, you can't do that. But then God graciously gave it to him. The answer was John, God's favor. God's favor is upon you tonight. He loves you. There's not a thing wrong with you. Whatever is missing or lacking, God has a plan. He has a purpose. He's going to accomplish his will in your life, whether you believe it or not, because he is a good heavenly father. Amen? Amen. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and thank you for your word as we begin this very, very magical, beautiful, supernatural gospel, the gospel of the beloved physician. And Lord, already we begin to feel the love, the warmth, the humanity, the compassion, the love of the poor, and even the grace for a priest who doesn't believe God, the one day he goes into the temple and is visited by an angel. How funny is that? And so, Lord, sometimes we puff ourselves up and try to pretend how faithful we are, and yet, Lord, you're good despite our faithlessness and our lack of spirituality and all of our weakness and struggle. And Lord, that is something to sing about. That's something to rejoice in. That's a Savior to fall in love with. That's a Spirit that we want to be claimed by. And so may your children hear the good word of the Lord to them. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, closing today's study with an appropriate word of prayer. And with that, we kick off an in-depth study in the Gospel of Luke. Today's study is titled, The Promise. If you missed any part of the message, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you get to the homepage, you can leave a tribute to Pastor Ray's life and service to the Lord. Also, click the word Media, and you'll see the words Watch, Radio, and Devo, three engaging ways you can enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can link to Pastor Ray's Facebook page, his podcast, his YouTube channel, and Twitter feed. And you'll also find Pastor Ray's books there at raybentley.com. His new book, The Final Witness, is an engaging prophetic fiction novel, part of the Elijah Chronicles series. It's riveting and educational at the same time. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Or our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Luke. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.